dough coming from the rec store. With this packing and making a backflow. Let's go, chillin' with raccoons by the back door. Take calls so you can stake more. All I wanna do is making dough, right? But I found this crew and doing alright. We wreck real bitch, ready to fight. So many raccoons ready for the boss life. I might fly high like a kite, right? But always ready for a shite for the right price. Raccoon supply has the right price. Giving you respect if it's likewise. So I'm buying all the mean guys with the clean heart. Read between lies, laser beam through lean eyes. Larry or with clean lies, trash mouth mean smile. Be wise, NFT wise, fuck with these guys.
It's the rack lab from the back lab. 100 NFTs in my backpack. Crazy rack lab from the stash app. Rack will take a lead in this haystack.
Today is Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2024, and this is your favorite Rack FM episode so far, recording live from Guantanamo, bro. I present to you Rack FM, the Asylum Edition. This was like a 3 hour and 20 minute space. So this is part one of two. Part two will be dropping right after. Over to you, Robo. Have a good space.
All right, folks. How's it hanging? It's a Tuesday. We've had the first massive fucking thunderstorm in Thailand today. It's been amazing after 39 degrees yesterday. We've just kicked this up random, not organized, not arranged. We're off to Guantanamo Bay in the morning. B-Bands is extremely busy, so we're hoping to catch 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes of our time this morning, if fucking at all possible. That'll be lucky. Finn's off bowling in the morning anyway. He's probably going to be up early, actually. I think his fucking mom who's visiting will be up making pancakes. He might enjoy this little intro. He'll cut it out if we record this shit. We might just delete it. Like, if anyone joins, like, after I've ranted for, like, 10 minutes, we'll just delete this fucking space and then there's no recording. But if there is a recording, it could be a belter. You know what I mean? All the fucking rack spaces, like, the best ones, are always, like, the ones that are fucking unplanned and we're just like, ah, let's go and let's, like, just do some, like, random fucking shit. So, okay. Hey, Rec Gang, great. Hey, you want to hide behind fucking whoever? Let's get all the code on the table. They are. Simple. I'm not a fucking coder. Right? Let's get it all out, guys. Let's, like, do people want to go on and stop hiding behind the fucking skirt tails of, like, because they're not the fucking devs. This is the crack. Nine. Right? Wrecked. Can't fucking come up and go and, like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. This and the code, that and the code. No, they can't. So fucking bring your fucking boys up then. Bring your experts and explain what the fucking crack is, bro. Because, from what we're hearing from numerous other fucking sources, I'm just going to say, holy shit, backlash. Like one of you, oh, look, we've got an incognito listener. Seen that? Whenever we put these spaces up, you know, we don't deny, because we know that, like, there are little fucking snipers, little, like, sly little cunts that didn't want to show their face. Like, bro, I know for a fact that, like, you can be on desktop now and your face shows. So the very fact that there's me and you, whoever you are, get the English correct, yeah? Whomever you are in the room, let it be said that you could have joined quite easily. Like, what are you using? Are you still using BlueStacks? Which is like so fucking 2022 or some pleb shit, isn't it? Oh, there we go. Oh, we've got some people in the room. Guys, I'm just shitting on the fact that there's only been me and this incognito listener. I've just been saying, Alan, J Smiles, yeah, shout out you two. I've just been saying that this cunt, like, bro, when you come in incognito these days, there isn't a reason to. Like, on desktop, whatever now, there's just, you should be, if you're on a space, I say they've gone, shout out. I am glad I've embarrassed them twice. Al, J Smiles, on the beginning of the replay, you've got mic, by the way, if you want it. On the beginning of this, of the replay, you'll hear me just go after them. Like, the only listener I got in the room was an incognito, and I was like, you fucking slimy little cunt. I couldn't help myself anyway. Why should we care? At this point in this stage in the game, with our credibility in that, Rack FM, what we say, like, why should we care? Oh, sorry, we hurt your feelings. Oh, bro, I'm really sorry, like, but I didn't realise that, like, I was supposed to care about your feelings, you daft cunt. Like, seriously? Like, listen, I've got friends, like, real hard, we've got friends, hardcore friends in this ego, right, that we regard as, like, they'll just jump me in the DM and they'll be like, fuck, I need some gas for this, or, like, this airdrop, or blah, blah, whatever. Like, just people will say, bang, 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 bang. Whoever's there, it's a time of day, it's all, like, you know, the few and far between, aren't they? I've got to say to you, Al, just Smiles, both of you's fucking Clara, regard you as fucking friends in this equal, you know. I like that, like, validation, you know, is just, like, how much you partake in, like, the shit that goes on, isn't it? You didn't come in a fucking room incognito. I didn't even know why Elon's got this shit. They should take it away. Anyway, court is law. I might as well fill in this up while no one's here. I'm waiting for your Queen Bee bands, by the way. She's there opening a shop. And it'll be class if she was here, like, but never mind. It's like, what? It's not even 8 o'clock at the minute. I saw you in the doubt, Al. And I haven't got to give me an emoji. Are you in the Dow yet or not? Because fucking when the public goes live and the whitelist finishes, just for the culture, even though the fucking OE whitelist, like, number now is, oh, we're going to get into this in a minute. I mean, I should have been paying more attention, but even though this is like, we're going to just drop. I know, Al, I saw that you're right, dude. The fucking 685 stars to like 1500 without, like, they should have been warning people about this well in advance, right? Because people could have, like, launched, like, early if you weren't featured or whatever. But also DAOs, you know, like, I'm so glad Reclip DAO, we scheduled these well in advance. I nailed it in the Discord today. I said to them, this happened between the 27th of April and the 5th of May. And I was like, it's because we did the props. The props passed on the Reclip DAO on the 27th, and there were 685. All right. Like, I understand dynamic pricing, but I need to see dynamic pricing change with the start. Like, you can't say we're going to have dynamic pricing and then through. Because feeds, I'm getting the fucking understanding, feeds through DAO are pretty fucking slow. Right. I haven't even started talking to the team about this because I'm very underqualified, you see. This is not my, like, realm of, like, expertise. Teaching English is, but I'm learning as we go along. So I'm, like, trying to log some stuff so I can go back and talk to them about some of these fucking issues that we're... Oh, he's Brian, and all. Oh, Brian, I'm... Oh, Brian, I hate the monologues, bro. They're fucking painful because sometimes I see new people come in and I'm like, I stop talking and I think, right, new people, get them in. And then you're going to help me remember what I was talking about. Okay, if the market's, like, gonna generally, like, trend downwards now, you're gonna see everybody start to come out and pick all the holes and faults in every fucking project, and, like, everything's gonna start get exposed that nobody gave a fuck about during the, did we lose Brian now? Is he here? Brian,
here.
Oh, dude, I've lost you on my screen. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You're cranking on DAO stuff, I think. Talking about DAO props and DAO streams.
Brian, it's a fucking incredible fucking learning curve right now. The thing is, shit, I've been talking about with you about the two governance strategies. Like, the thing is, we're faced with three choices of DAO creation right now, right? Multisigs, which are easy, token-based DAOs, which are pretty easy if you've planned it in advance, and then NFT DAOs. And then NFT DAOs are just they shouldn't even be. It's like comparing apples with battery acid, Brian. But nobody's talking about it.
Dude, I have such a big DAO problem right now. I probably shouldn't talk about it on a recorded space. But
no, you're fine. You're fine because we've been complaining about, you know, like latency, fucking, you know, lethargic attitudes. Like there's a lot to, but they can be trimmed and honed and be excellent execution vehicles for like a multi-authority body where a single entity can't be trusted, if that makes sense.
I don't think so, dude. I think we're overcomplicating like it all. But all right, can I tell you my spiel?
Well, you can, but you know, my base argument is that people talk about this DAO shit. So I don't know if you heard the DAO summit we did early last year. And I did this big thing. What does DAO mean to you? What is the D in decentralized, the A in autonomous, and the O in organization? I mean, the O in organization is the easy one, but the first two, D is a different story. And bro, like, I have to be honest with you. At the end of the day, to create a DAO, someone, unless there's a team of people in a room creating a fucking DAO at one particular time, right? Someone, a single entity, has to like create the DAO from its concept. This is just the reality of the world, and this is the thing that makes DAO a bit of a misnomer as a acronym. Sorry, Brian, I just want to give a pretext to like what I've been thinking about for like 18 fucking months, is that like DAOs are a fallacy, but they're getting better, you know. And then there's people like us that are trying to push the realms of what might be possible. How you need to educate people as well in just basic knowledge of like, look, guys, you know, governance in the long run doesn't have to be governance in the short run, depending on like what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve. Like everything's like a needs analysis, needs a specific. Anyway, mate, I'll shut up because I've been dying for a partner for a long time here.
Yeah, I think so. I used to kind of be of the libertarian mindset, and then my mind changed one day where I realized that you have to trust certain institutions, and you turn on your car and it works. You don't really know how electricity and the insulation in your walls works. At some point in time, like the world gets too complicated that you have to like trust the institutions that build your gear and build your technology and et cetera, et cetera. So like, unless you're going to like go live in on a farm and be like a, you know, be like a monk or be like a Quaker, you need to trust the institution. So like DAOs are like this kind of mechanism in my
Brian,
mind.
Brian, on that note, yeah. Brian, by the way, you know, on a global scale, like global institutions, like let's just say like, you know, the federal government, whatever, I am not saying for one instance that DAOs are ever going to be a replacement. I actually see DAOs as being like a small enterprise thing. But I see that empowerment of the small enterprise creating like future wealth within the entire crypto ecosystem, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. So,
you know, like an SME, Brian, SME like is what like a 5 to 20 people class does, is it? I don't know what it is in the States. I think in the UK it's classed as like five, like a V, you get VSEs and blah, 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 sole traders, et cetera. But I think an SME would be like 5 to 20 people.
I think it's the opposite, man. I think at the beginning of an organization, you have to be very contrived and very focused and very specific. And then as the organization grows, or like something like Ethereum, as the capital and the money supply grows crazy, like you get a couple psychopaths in there that tear up the whole entire game, and they like want to consolidate power and concentrate for them. And then what ends up happening is like you need it to be more and more decentralized as it becomes more valuable. I think it's the opposite, man. I really do. It's like, how do you take power away from people once you're at like $1 billion market cap? You need to distribute that power and have less people hold on to it. That's my thoughts.
Brian, I've got to say this. So like, what are the main pioneers of that I was being like Jake? And he's been saying this for a long time, long, long time, about NFT DAOs versus traditional multi-sigs and token-based DAOs, right? And the very fact that, like, if you combine that with, like, I mean, he hasn't been saying this, but he's been implying it for a while, if you're going to combine it with, like, ZK creds and that, do you not think there's, like, a kind of trusted, like, I mean, so, like, this is what I really, I think this is the kind of thing I'm getting across. Is it, like, NFT DAOs, I just think, are a separate entity to traditional multisig or token-based DAOs. And we have to look at them as, like, different entities, like I say, apples and battery acid, bro, is what I see from being involved in both. And Joe's given me, like, well, I know, Joe, you're busy, but, like, if you could come up with it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't know about the apples and battery acid comment. I think that you need a DAO when a situation is more complicated than one individual has the capacity and the knowledge to understand and navigate through. And so then the question is, the problem, the benefit of a DAO is you get to outsource all these ideas and props, and then you get to kind of centralize the success. But then you get to a certain point where you don't even, that the voters don't know how to evaluate. They're not smart enough to have how to evaluate the decision-making process, right? It's like you put a couple, like, different, like, COVID vaccines in front of me, or like some other, like, natural alternatives. I have no clue what I'm talking about. I have zero clue, because I'm not an expert in that. And then so you kind of have to trust these experts, and these experts come up with these stories and narratives and how to explain it to the wider population. And then, like, people vote on that, right?
And so Brian, this, like, Brian, yeah. If I create a multisig DAO now, I have to physically add people, right? And those people are automatically on the multisig, right? Unless they don't want to be, kind of thing, essentially. With a token-based DAO, right, if you're distributing it, right, when you create it, etc., basically they're just like fucking stakeholders or whatever, like, from the fucking start, effectively, kind of thing.
Describing a token-based DAO.
But they would have to. They would have to obviously stake the tokens. But the thing is, with an NFT, is that you've got to achieve it. Now, by achieve, I might mean mint or buy on secondary, but you've got to obtain an NFT. Rather than being given it. Now, you're only going to get given it if it's been airdropped through, like, something you've taken part in. So, like, do you kind of understand what I mean, Brian? There's an earning mechanism in an NFT-based DAO, where token-based DAOs and multisig DAOs are kind of granted rather than earned. And I think that's a point that we're missing. And I think there's leverage there as well. Joe? Welcome. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably talking proper shit based on your emojis. Fucking cunt. I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're... Can I make a comment on Joe? He spent like 5 months sleeping in the hospital. Like, my life is pretty fucking shit right now. And I'll tell you what, the inspiration and strength I've gained from fucking Joe on a personal level through DMs in the last 6-8 weeks has been... Like, there's no crypto in the world can ever fucking give you that value. I'll tell you what, Joe's put my feet back on the ground. Like, Finn and Joe recently have saved me from just fucking giving up and just going back home and living an easy life. Anyway, Joe, welcome to the floor, brother. I'm glad you're back in the normal world for a cheer. I'm glad your little girl's home, mate.
Hey, morning.
I mean, Joe, what do you think? What do you think about the fact that, like, what I'm saying about NFT DAOs, how it's got to be earned, and it's like NFT DAOs are skin in the game. The others maybe might be, but it's still a grantation, isn't it?
No, I always thought that NFTs make way better DAO tokens than fungible tokens. You can't just turn around and dump NFTs into a liquidity pool. You can't really manipulate the price. The more of them you buy, the more stake you're holding, and it's harder. The fact that they're illiquid makes them better, I think, as governance tokens. But what you were saying about, like,
Joe, can I give a massive, the biggest controversial take ever? I think staked NFTs in a DAO should be also not the fucking god shit, the gate shit, sorry, that we're doing on Window and that, but, like, imagine, right, if you stake it and it's like a lifetime stake. But then you don't partake in governance and your NFT's burned and you're no longer part of the community. Like, forced governance to a degree, I think. I didn't want to sound like a Nazi, but I do think that if you're willing to make a commitment to be like, right, I am going to be part of this, like, org. If I'm talking on an org level, like, maybe even, you know, up from SME level a little bit, but, like, if you're not willing to be, like, part of a blah, 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 then after, like, say, like, let's say, like, you don't partake in three props in a row, your NFT gets burnt and you're no longer part of the org. I mean, I don't know. I know it's controversial. I might sound like a Nazi, but, like, these are things that we need to think about, Brian, right?
Yeah, so... Story time. I worked for Compound DAO, and Polychain just divested. A16Z no longer votes on treasury front props unless there's you have an organization called a DUNA, D-U-N-A, which they created out in Wyoming. And they're basically saying, hey, if we're not, like, unless you're a nonprofit, we're not deploying capital to you anymore from treasuries. It's like, holy shit. So in Compound DAO, there's basically like $120 million in the treasury. And the amount of delegates that you need, like that have like 50K, 30K or more of votes, you need 400K votes. There's like 14 that have voted in the last year. And you need 8 of them. You need 8 of them to vote on your proposal. So it's like 8 of 14 multi-sig, it kind of like turns out at the end of the day. Oh, and actually with A16Z and Polychain out, it's like 13. So you have to get 8, like they gave away like 30 delegations at the beginning. So all of these delegations that they gave away, like we have a vote up for a 1-year contract. And now that A16Z is out, like the next 3 days are me just going around and like slobbing on knobs of like DAO members to like get them to vote on our, just even abstain, because most of the time the problem is it doesn't hit quorum. So I see what late stage DAO looks like, and late stage DAO looks like a bunch of people that don't have enough skin in the game to actually care. They don't actually own the token. They only own a delegation, and they decide to not vote. And they decide to not vote because, like, what? It's like $10 to vote in gas or on Ethereum mainnet. And then on the other side of the equation, it's like, sometimes that delegation's in a multi-sig and they have to get 3 or 4 people to vote, like untap the multi-sig to sign that transaction. It's just like superly overly complicated. And then like the people that have the token and the delegation aren't financially incentivized to vote anymore. So I know what late stage DAOs look like. And you know, Compound being one of the first ones, I think they kind of messed up at certain points that people can like look at but it's insane. So
That is Brian. That is my new fucking favorite phrase. Wait a minute. Late, the compound adjective. Late stage DAOs. Oh, Joe, did you catch that one or not? That was fucking beautiful, Brian. That's poetic.
Dude, it's fucking apathy, man. It's just apathy everywhere. Now, the tech of Compound works and the protocol works and it makes money. So this dude from China, he bought like what? $10 million worth of Compound. And now he's got 200,000 votes. So he's got 50% of the votes and he's doing a 51% attack on the DAO for $10 million right now.
Ridiculous. I mean,
yeah,
this has been going on for a while. You know, the Uniswap situation, which university is it again that owns all the fucking Uniswap? Like
Harvard Law School.
Yeah. Is it Harvard Law School, is it, that owns all the Uniswap? It's one of the big ones, I know it is. But, like, that has been one of the biggest DAO embarrassments. Like, this is what we were talking about a year and a half ago. Like DAO tooling has literally always been a fallacy. Guys, you've been lied to. You've literally had, like Joe said in the Rec Clip one or whatever, like, these guys that were, like getting their fucking pants pulled over their heads in fucking grade 12 and shit, like the plebs. That's just their way of getting back, man. It's like, Joe, you know what I mean, though, bro.
It's called the Atomic Wedgie Club.
Aye, the Atomic Wedgie Club. There's Bruce. He knows. I will be honest with you, though. This is probably Brian. Three's examples is why, like, regardless of, like, you know, the shit UI and stuff that we've had to put up with for 2 years, I'm still bullish as fuck on, like, DAO and the tool and the making is, because everywhere else I've been, it doesn't even come close. And, you know, now enterprise has been, like, locked down. Nobody can do fuck all with enterprise, just an FYI for everybody here. And, I mean, the thing is, with enterprise, I'm gonna say this out loud, and that's recorded, fuck it. I didn't think they've got the money, the time, or the effort to chase anyone that wants to go out and develop enterprise. That's all I'm saying. Like, if I was out there, and I'd be like, like, if I was one of those people that could do that shit, I'd go, nah, fuck this. Come and catch me if you can. Right? Some Leonardo DiCaprio shit. Like, Leonardo. Like, I've got to say, this didn't come out of my mouth. This came out there. Very, very, very well known Cosmos chain sleuth. That's not Rama. He was just like, well, they've done it. They've locked it down. But, like, I doubt they've got any fucking shit or time or energy or effort, like, to go on it, like, enforce it. Like, people can probably do what the fuck they like. If they were that ink, like, that way. I mean, I'm not educated. I can't do it. I'm not a coder. Anyway, Joe, shall we change the subject from DAOs? We're setting the TL alight. I mean, the gauntlet is thrown down. Rekgang seem to just want to personally attack me. Like, I haven't even got a personal account anymore, so good luck with that, bro. I ain't got any reputation. I'm just a fucking faceless fucking voice on this pleb account. Like, so, like, court is law, Joe, Brian. Like, does anyone know what's going on or not? Ooh, it's all
kicking
off.
Explain the Rekgang situation really quick to me.
The easiest way would be that the unopened bonds could have quite easily migrated under the contract. But obviously, because of what happened with the actual collection and then the sales and the blah, 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 they knew that that was going to be a forced secondary. So like a forced reveal creates a forced secondary. People are very unlikely to actually market unrevealed NFTs. And then, I mean, the weird thing is, they didn't do any code themselves, but they're hiding behind, you know, Mint Down, Mint Labs, whatever. And there's no comment from them. Like, they're silent. Like, we've been tagging them and blah, 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 reached out to them and, like, hey, you know, nothing. Now, think about this. Just for one second, put down your biases, people. Not yours, lot in the room, the people on the replays. Put down your biases, right? Imagine that we're not total plebs. Imagine that we might actually fucking have a heart and we might actually fucking really care. And also we have fucking Finn the pleb that, like, holy fuck. If these bonds don't ever get over to Stargaze, I'm just going to rope right through this cunt. Bruce has been there through it. Bruce and I have had 14 months of this crying shit going on about these bonds not being migrated, right? But putting that to one side, the problem now, right, let's say that we're real, right? We've got a good heart, we're telling the truth. Let's say that this is true, right? We're good people. The fucking backlash is something that would just ruin the entire project. Now, if this is actually, like, if what we're seeing is true, then, dude, that credit, I mean, hey, years taught me about the credibility of fucking lying to people that they had to do this to create a false reveal so that you create a bigger secondary than you were ever going to fucking have your pleb cunt where you were in the first place. But that didn't need to happen. So those reveal, the people like Finn that wanted to hang on to the last fucking minute, because that's the kind of person he is, right, they weren't allowed to. Or they've had to stay on poop finance. I mean, come on. Come on, people. Now, listen, it's in the nest. Aye? Court is law, isn't it? Second tweet along. Dorquan in jail saying, it will be all right, Rekgang. My bond too. Hashtag my bond too. Now, Joe, I don't know if I've explained it. I might have gone on a little bit, but you kind of get the picture that they need to come out now with fucking code and Mint Labs and everything else, and actually prove that unrevealed bonds as part of the migration contract were not possible. Because I'll fucking tell you, there's 10 devs in the fucking DM saying exactly the opposite. Like, they ain't need Stargaze going to come out publicly and start shouting when they've just done a fucking massive fucking number through Mad Scientist, either. There's no fucking Mint Labs that's going to come out and saying, well, we offered them the choice, but they didn't take it. Are they? No. some cunt's going to have to poke the fucking dragon. And sometimes, Rack FM's really good at poking dragons, like we learned from Frodo, you know. Frodo's uncle anyway, Bilbo, sorry. There, you get the picture, Joe. All right, I'll shut the fuck up.
Who cares?
Based. That's actually based. You know the only person that cares? Finn. And like, he's going to make loads of money and just fucking keep it all to himself. And anyway, so who gives a fuck? Exactly.
It's the same with all crypto. The only people that care are the people that are way overexposed.
Dude, that's a banger tweet. It's like exactly that's correct.
Because if you're not
what tweet? Code is, what tweet? Code is law, you mean? Code is law or not?
No.
Oh, sorry.
People overexposed.
People right.
The only people in crypto that care are the people that are overexposed. Love it.
He's right, though. He's right. He's
same, totally goes, on the money. Same goes with parents and the kids, to be honest.
That's what
you know what? What you're not you overexposed with a dog, wait. You're not going to get prosecuted if, like, you tie your dog up outside a barn going for a beer and someone shoots it. Tie your kid up outside a barn, someone shoots it. You're going to get fucking a lot of jail. Like, Bruce nailed it there. Like,
I'm actually going to. It was a bit insensitive. I totally feel with Joe and his daughter, and my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family.
No, thanks, man. We're going home today, so it's been a rough 2 months. But the reason why I wasn't talking is because they were doing like the final checking the vitals. All they do is take her blood pressure and take her temperature, and the girl freaks the fuck out. So I couldn't talk because she was screaming like a maniac. But she's like, she's passed out on my shoulder right now, so she tired herself out already for the day.
It's a tough thing to go through, man. As a kid, stuff like that.
Yeah,
scary.
She's not going to remember this at all. She's not going to remember it. So, they had her on the top notch, stuff they got here. So she's not going to remember any of this.
Oh, she got the under the bridge stuff.
She got the she got the good stuff while she was here. She got the fentanyl. She got the ketamine. She got the methadone. All that shit. So she ain't going to remember nothing.
So Joe, did you see that you made an appearance in EP2, the video?
I didn't listen to it yet. I just minted it. I didn't listen to it.
You and Don Kryptonium together on the same image. The superimposed
creation.
You know the Prince Andrew, Jeffrey Epstein walk in the park in Central Park? You know what?
What the hell's wrong with you? I'm not listening to that.
Blim Brasco. Dude, wait, have you seen Wolfman at the beginning, though? Dude, when you watch the intro and the out, like, so is Tank. I mean, Tank brings flavor, doesn't he? I want everyone to know who, like, has got the EP or blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, what are we supposed to do? You've already seen the tracks or heard them and you've minted them. Like, and we're supposed to create, what is an EP? It's a fucking intro and an outro added to the four things that you've already fucking got. Like, it's not like we just say to Timmy, can you do some like video shit? And he's like, yeah, no worries. Like, shout out Timmy. Shout out Spark, by the way, who's in the metadata. But like, literally, like what you're supposed to do with an intro and an outro. So the last time I said to Finn, right, EP1, you've got to do the intro. Everybody knows it. You've got it. You've listened, blah, blah. Need me to fucking repeat. Like, I was like, wait, do the intro, do the outro. This is what we need. And then, like, I just, the basics, and he gave me that, and it was perfect. And then, this is kind of crazy story, guys, right? If you know Lizard Is. We're in talks with Lizard Is about doing a Siri voice for EP2, like the beginning and the end, and we already give out the script and everything. But Liz has actually logged off and went on a journey. Now, listen. Nice shit. I think probably it was about 6 weeks since I messaged Liz. Fucking woke up this morning. There's a message from Lizard Is in the Discord. She's doing very, very well, by the way. She's like fucking living her best life, just like being insane. Like, if anyone who's missed Liz or anyone who knows Liz, like, no, your family, you all do that. But anyone who's missed her, she fucking DM'd me today. And I was like, fucking bitch, we dropped the EP on fucking Sunday, you cunt. You know what I mean? A bit fucking late. Anyway, that was only a joke. But you get the picture. Seriously, like, what were we supposed to do? We were like, I was like to Finn, right, we'll just use like an AI voice generator and try and get like a British, like Siri, like, so that voice on the intro and outro is like the British Karen. That's our Karen from HR, if anyone listens. And then if you see the Wolfman, what's the first picture? It starts with the Rack FM, flicks to Wolfman, flicks to Jacob with, look on Jacob's head. Look on Jacob's head. That's Timmy, by the way. Shout out, Timmy. Oh, I love that. Timmy's like, should I take that off? I'm like, dude, you leave that shit on, right? You see Jacob in his little hobbit world and Finn's clown, whatever. Like, we have to put that in, obviously, you know, for the shout out. But you just get the picture. Like, you know, if anybody, like, looked at it and raised even a half of a smile, then we did our job. And that's the top and bottom of, like, NFTs, isn't it? And what we're trying to do, and, like, listen, if you've got that NFT and you stake it, you literally are going to help to choose that. I mean, you might be voted down in governance, but you're going to help to choose, like, the whole course at EP4. We've even started a convo in the last 24 hours that the art might be up for fucking governance voting. Like, and I was like, that might not be possible, but...
Can you just make the link tree? Just make the link tree. That's all I
can. Oh, you're fucking cunt. Joe says today, why didn't you create a link tree? And we've got like one of the best ones on earth. I was like, but bro, there's 15 links in there, you absolute pleb.
Oh, there already is a link tree? So where's the link for it? How do I,
like, you guys, the bio? But no, you're not in the bio. No.
You guys, but you do the same shit as every NFT creator. You hide all the information in 25 different places, and then you're like, oh, why is my shit not minting out? Well, because you're a fucking disorganized mess.
Did you just describe the search function on Stargaze there?
Nah, the search function on Stargaze is like, I'll tell you what, it's like when I take out my contact lenses, but my glasses are not right in front of me, and then I gotta go find my glasses. It takes forever. That's the search function on Stargaze, at least on the phone. It does not work well at all. So,
bro, have you heard the story about like 2.5 weeks ago when I lost my glasses for 7 hours in the house on it? Oh, this is a good one.
The other thing is your nomenclature for these NFTs doesn't help the situation.
Bro, I spent 7 hours looking for my glasses. I mean, after like, because I really couldn't see after the first 2 hours, the stress factor went through the fucking roof. Now listen, now what I learned, you need glasses to find glasses. When you're as blind as me, you literally must always, like, I didn't even realize that this, like, I'm new to glasses, you know what I mean? I only got my glasses like end of 2022. I'm already on 6 fucking pairs. Fucking Winston's fucking sat on the cunts and brought, like, they're like 6 grand a pair.
How the hell?
They're like $190 a pair, my glasses. And that cunt sitting on them.
You know, I bought the darkest framed glasses that I could buy, like the thickest frames. That way I could find them easier when my contact lenses aren't in. They look stupid when I'm wearing them, but I could find them pretty easy if they're on like a light colored surface. I could find them from across the room with no, because my I'm blind without my contact lenses. I can't see shit. I can't recognize my own kids' faces from like 10 feet away. But yeah.
Dude, that's bad. I tell you what, people didn't realize what a struggle it is. I say to people, so what my vision is like, Joe, is you know, 3D glasses. Have you ever put 3D glasses on and looked at something that's like not 3D or something? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? That's my vision, is like that 3D shit, but like you're missing glasses.
You're like the guy from Hot Shots, the John Cryer's wash out,
bro. It is like this, like mad, like red and green, like hazy, like fucking shit. Yeah, we've got new guests. Let's get on the case. I say Crypto Sailor and a few others in the audience is here, so I'm just doing an impression of Gus, where he recognizes the audience before the actual speakers on the panel. Gus, Gus, if you listen to the replay, that was a little Easter egg for your brother, and that's a reason you should tune into Rack FM every week. So We will go to, because Red Eye beat Tank to the fucking draw there. The two of them same time, but Red Eye, welcome, mate. That Miami track, dude, who the fuck put a fucking Grand Prix in Miami and made it that boring? You can fuck right off, like.
Yeah, I have no idea. It hasn't been that long since I've been to Miami. But yeah,
it created carnage, right? But it's such a shit fucking track. Like, I'm not a fan. It's like Abu Dhabi a la part fucking two. I don't know. They could have done better.
What's another big US city that they do this with? Like, imagine them doing this in Chicago or New York City or something like this.
Oh, well, they've got the street circuit around Vegas, haven't they? That's in November. But they've been doing Austin now for a while. They're Circuit to America, right? But, like, I mean... I have to say, I'm frustrated. I'm going to be quick and we'll get the Tank. I'm not going to talk about Formula One because it is a passion, but I'm frustrated with this sprint shit mixed in with race weekends. Honestly, I get the feeling that rather than be there for like a full week and have the sprint race like one weekend and then like have that a little bit as like practice, but then have the race separate. Like, I can't cope with these two things at the same time. It's doing me fucking head in. I don't think F1 fans are going to be a fan in the long run, bro, of the new format, yeah?
Bro, I don't know how you can fucking talk about Formula One when there's declassified documents out there on fucking warp drives.
Yeah, just jealous. Wait, he's just jealous because the greatest Formula One driver ever is fucking Finnish. Aye, and Denmark's never produced any cunt of any fucking salt. Isn't that
what
right, bro?
What do you mean? Have you seen Verstappen? Fucking Tim Christensen? The guy who won Le Mans, I don't know how many times. Shut the fuck up.
Apparently, back in the day, he was Kimi Raikkonen's fucking rent boy back in the late 80s, I've heard. Like.
You know that Finland is a subsidiary of Denmark, right?
Dude, you do know Kimi Raikkonen's like the greatest driver in the history.
I know. I remember watching him as a kid beating Schumacher.
He's not, but like Ayrton Senna is. But like, literally, take Ayrton Senna out the convo and just say, like, who is the greatest driver that's ever, like, walked any fucking, like this or driven any road. This fucking fella, like, Kimi. See, I've always been Kimi's biggest fan because he never liked to talk to the fucking TV or blah, blah, blah. Right? He fucked off and did, like, his rally shit. Like, he doesn't really care, Kimi, right? But when Lewis Hamilton, after George Floyd, led everyone to take the knee and do all that shit, right? Kimmy's the only one that was like, fuck that, like, I'll stand up, like for my rights. Like, I don't have to take the knee just because you say I have to take the knee. Now, for me, like, that the value in that was just like, that's the deal where, like, I mean, I stopped watching, like, I mean, I'm talking about Formula One. You can tell how passionate I am. I know everything about the entire industry, the cars, the lot. I'll talk about engineering all day long. Adrian Newey's me like one of my biggest heroes, but I'll tell you now, the deal that was taken at the sport, and I've tweeted about this on my banned account, but like, it just killed me. I walked away, and like, it's not right. They should have to like sacrifice something for your morals and principles. But yeah, man, we'll shut the fuck up about morals and principles, because Rack FM, and nobody cares about that. GM Tank, how you doing? You all right?
Look, if your name's not Ricky Bobby, and if your steering wheel goes right, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about, because NASCAR, baby, is the way we do it here in the South, all right? We're talking about some NASCAR, and we only go left, all right? You ain't first, you're left.
When's the last time you've been to a dirt track, Tank?
What's a dirt track?
Go attack you,
Bruce. Imagine NASCAR, but on dirt.
Question. Hey, audience.
I go to the Derby every Friday, okay? We go to the Derby every Friday.
Question for the audience. Yeah. Question for the audience. Why has no top American driver become a top F1 driver before? We're talking a tournament that's been going around since the early 1950s, right?
It's because capitalism hasn't reached these other countries.
Because we eat pancakes here, Frenchie. Okay,
it's always been UK based. Apart from the Italians. Always been UK based. Even go and look now. Go and look where the French team. Go and look where their HQ is. Go and have a look. Where's McLaren? Where, like,
It's all in the UK. The UK has been the center of like this for like since day dot. Like that's just
so,
the way.
So is it? Robo,
no, but Americans
are
gonna travel.
Wait.
No, Americans are gonna travel well is what I'm saying.
Wait. I just want to add: is the HQ located in UK or in the city of London? Because there's a huge difference.
Oh.
Don't confuse my poor American brain with your fucking European shenanigans.
No. Bruce is talking about. Bruce is talking about the city of London, which is paramount to exactly say like Washington D.C.
Or the Vatican.
Oh Jesus! Here we go. So yes, Bruce is basically talking about one of probably seven or eight entities in the actual world. If the Politburo as well, Bruce, you probably can add into that convo as well. Yes,
are you telling me New York City's not New York? What the fuck are you talking about?
Bro, what about those Jews coming out the fucking pipes in the ground? That was hilarious. Did you see the Mario, you know, the Mario Brothers 3 thing where he was like, doodly, you know, where they come out the chimneys and that, them Jews coming out the fucking holes in the drains. That was brilliant. Have you
seen the newest thing? Like this fucking architect firm out of New York City, they want to build an upside down skyscraper that is hanging off an asteroid down to the fucking
Bro,
earth.
Bro, we
man.
Got that everywhere. I'm fucking you European. People need to catch up in America.
I was about to say,
we have the House of Wonders in basically every fucking place. You can go to the fucking Smoky Mountains and there's an upside down museum. You can go to Panama City Beach. There's an upside down museum. You can go to dude, we got those everywhere, bro. Everywhere.
Do you know, I went to an upside down house before, right, in Phuket here in Thailand. I mean, Mrs. made us like grab everything, right, and took photos. And I have to say, I have to say, I looked at the photos after and I was just like, what are you doing? Like, how much do you really like love this woman? Like, how much of your integrity are you really? And then we got divorced like fucking 9 months later. Like, it just wasn't funny. Like, sorry. Like, your kids might enjoy an upside down house.
But
darling, I'm fucking 39.
What I'm talking about is not like a regular upside down skyscraper. This is a skyscraper which is hanging off an asteroid down into the Earth atmosphere, and they fucking proposed this, and they want to build it in Dubai.
Well, how do you control
this? Like something you'd find in LA for like the Scientologists.
How do you control like, the asteroid, though? I mean, is it like a fucking?
No, it's gonna return to New York City 2 times a day. And you need a drone to enter the building.
Oh, I don't know how much of this I can take. Matt from Czech, welcome. Your personal opinions are your own and no reflection on your organization that you work for. Go ahead, sir.
I just thought I'd pop in while I was, I just noticed it pop up. I was like, I'll jump in, see if I get rugged in.
I just
heard Bruceman see a fucking... As soon as he mentioned, was it the London or the City of London? I was like, oof, what a fucking beller of a question. And then the conversation moved on. I was just curious to hear more about F1 banter and what everybody else had to say. Other than that, hello, how have you been? Hope you're all cool. Hopefully my phone's updated well enough so I don't get fucking rugged again.
Are
so I can
goose?
Drop in a little bit more.
Are
but that was half the reason.
Matt, you're Gooch. You're absolutely 100% Gucci. Bro, I was telling these cunts, the Yanks, the other week about the follow-through story. Matt, have you ever been in this experience where someone's had a follow-through story, right, in England, right, in the village and that, and then they, like, tell people, right, and everyone's laughing about over a few beers. And then, like, the next week, someone, like, follows through. And, like, bro, people think this is an urban tale. I mean, you're from the same place I am. Like, literally, you know the follow-through story, or am I just making this shit up?
I'm struggling with the context, a follow-through story. What do you mean? Give us an example.
Oh, dude, I followed through before when I was sleeping in a tent and I didn't even know, right? And I woke up thinking I need the toilet and I walked through.
Oh, you mean shit yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I was telling the band the other week.
Thank you for translating, Matt.
I was telling the band the other week, we were walking through town in where I am, and we were talking about stories, you know, like when you fart, when you let a fart out. And she was like, oh, don't do that. You have a shit. So I was like, ah, it'll not be the first time. She was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, I'd had a couple of beers. So I went to this the brew Caskills, you know, like I like a decent IPMA. I like me cask stuff. I don't like none of the shit that's on the shelves. So I'd had a couple of beers and we were walking back. Anyway, fucking hell, I farted and I followed through. I shit myself. I was walking like a mince. I had to walk all the way through town, right? And it soiled right the way through. And I'd said, I've followed through. She was like, what does that mean? She's like, basically what it means is you farted and shit yourself. So I've done that before. If that's what you...
Holy fuck, I'm fucking dying here, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're telling me fucking you've never
nice
followed through.
Your voice
you're talking
again,
shit.
Wait, he's the best. Wait, can I just say before we bring Joe in? People from Sunderland tell the best stories. He's like, I like a cheeky IP. Like, he's giving you the background. He's warming you up, right? To the stomach. Like disruption that he experienced that day. Joe, you got the hand up, dude.
I think I'm off track. I missed the last couple minutes. Are we still talking about racing cars?
Have you changed the color of your hand? Because Joe, you had the Mexican fucking virtue signal hand up the other week. You had that like, it's not exactly brown, but it's like an off tone. Tank was offended. Oh, there you are, Tank. Tank, have a word with Joe, will you?
What are you talking about? That's my brother right there. That's the color of my skin. Look at it.
Dude, that's not Mexican. That's a Sicilian hand.
Yeah, that's fucking, like a heavy set Italian hand.
Fucking Joe's changing the color of his fucking hand, right? Depending on what time of day it is. He's
it
like, oh, it's
the
month time.
He could be celebrating a particular month or something. What's the
that's
month
true
of
too.
Day?
No, Tank will vouch for me. Brian can actually vouch for me also. I'm allowed to do that because my kids are mixed.
Right on.
So is my Bitcoin.
Just to be very honest, Joe and I in the DMs on a regular basis, like, fucking share, like, racist fucking slurs, like, just in case you want to get any of us cancelled, because, like, we've got, like, 1K followers, he's like, oh, he'd be fucked, wouldn't he, if you cancelled Joe? But, like, literally, like, racial slurs are, like, normal, like, DMs for, like, me and Joe, like, and the Joe, we don't fuck around, us, like.
Yeah, but our racial slurs would not get us cancelled because they're only about white people.
We can't get cancelled because we don't use the N-word, you see? No white man on earth gonna
realized today that white people makes out 8% of the entire world population. 8%.
Oh yeah, dude, Asians are coming.
Bro, reported Finn, you know, for calling me a pikey before. Do you know about this or not? I think I reported Finn for racism before.
I will say, I will say, Robo. There is one thing that you say that I wish you would change. I don't know. It's
tell
just me.
Me. Tell me.
It's
tell
the
me.
Whole Gucci. It's the whole Gucci thing. Stop calling people Gucci. When I think of Gucci, the Gucci's on discount bargain racks and shit at TJ Maxx. You're calling people cheap as fuck.
Yeah, dude. You who told you we don't shop at TK Maxx? Did you not get the memo like that? Bro, we shoplift. We fucking shoplift from TK Maxx. What are you talking about?
TJ Maxx, fucker.
TJ Maxx was shoplifting with Rec Gang. Rec Gang's in TJ Maxx shoplifting when we expose their code. Tank, what do you think about this? Your opinion? Did you? I know Tank watches the tweets, and I see.
He doesn't care. Only you and Finn care. You're overexposed.
I don't. Finn cares. I'm on a 10% finder's fee.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about all that Rec. Dude, you know the only thing that's ever related to Rec anything that I have is one of those lab things now. That's the only thing I've ever had.
Same.
Who got them sloths? I'll tell you what, like, you're fucking anyone who got a fucking sloth, you must be fucking minted out the eyeballs. It's red panty. You got a sloth.
I had two of them, and I sold one for $300 like an idiot.
Bro, if you've got sloths, it's red panty night in your house every fucking night of the week. I'll tell you, you're getting PJs. Oh, if you own 10 sloths, bro, you're retired.
I show my wife every night. I said, this is why you won't leave me.
Can I share a secret for everyone in the room? The creator, though, actually looks like one, doesn't he?
I met him before. I can't remember what he looks like, though.
Yeah, he looks exactly like the fucking pictures do, like, bro.
Bro, like, but then again, Joe wouldn't remember anybody's looks.
Like the podcast. Did you not say the podcast and that the other day when Nick White and them and and your man?
He had a
clothes rack. I mean, I thought I was like looking at fucking Frey Needlecast or something on the podcast, you know what I mean, from Game of Nodes, but he had a clothes rack in his background. Obviously, his background was his house. He looked like he was in a loft or something.
Wait, did you just say the phrase fucking background in his podcast?
He had a clothes rack. You know, a clothes rack. He had his like chinos, like irons on the clothes rack. And I mean,
I just want to be honest. I love that show. I love the Game of Nodes. Little fucking high level technical bullshit. But like, that's so funny.
But what is it with people having clothes racks in a loft? So like, these people are in like a loft area. You can see they've got the slope and ceilings and that. And there's like a clothes rack with chinos. And I'm thinking,
Joe, it's probably even funnier to Joe because Joe knows the struggles. If you guys only fucking knew what was behind the green screen or like the fucking...
Bro, you know what I'm thinking, though? You know what I'm thinking?
It's so bad.
You know what I'm thinking, though? I'm thinking, wait, bro, like, your man lives in a house. Like, Frey, the Needlecast, I know, has bought the house, right? He's doing the renovation. I'm thinking, bro, your fucking washing machine's on the ground floor. I've got no doubt, like, everyone's washing machine's on the ground floor. You're on the third floor in the attic. With a pole, with a chain, like, what made you walk past the fucking second floor fucking family wardrobe and think, oh, I'm going to fucking show these off on the fucking podcast week?
But you know what? I got to respect him for it because he's just like, fuck it, right? Like, he's just putting on...
Oh, of course. Of course.
You know who's, but like, you know who's is the worst? Scott's is the worst, believe it or not. He showed me what's going on behind...
Really?
Behind the monitor, behind the green screen. He's in like a closet.
He makes it look so
professional. He's on the show. He's on the show tonight, right? In there, 3.5 hours? He's on the show at noon EST. So I don't know what time it is now. It should be 8:30 EST, is it? He's on the show at noon.
You're gonna have fun with him.
Oh, it's gonna be weird. If you want controversy, sorry, Brian, 1 second. You're straight in, Brian. You got the mic. If you want controversy, tune into this shorter day. It's going to be fucking wild. Go on, Brian.
So I was back in the day, I paid for a couple $1,000 for a podcast host to talk all about a particular project, a particular slot creator may or may not be on. And he had a messy bed and like dirty clothes on his bed in the background of the podcast. We paid like $5K for the podcast for it. I was like, what the fuck is going on, dude?
Like, oh my God. Hey, do you remember Don?
Yeah.
Don did one while his wife was sleeping in the bed behind him. Do you remember that?
Dude, I remember that one.
I'd be getting shit thrown at me. Like, for real. Like, my wife wouldn't let me do that if she was sleeping. Jesus.
That was Joe, that was when Don was like full mode with his personality and shit like that. And he was like, accumulate.
You know,
wasn't that also the last time you saw Don's wife?
You know the funniest thing about Don? You know the funniest thing about Don is, though, like, obviously he doesn't use a green screen, right? He blurs. I hope it's a green screen. We're not, it's not. But I love the fact he blurs the background. And the background is this, like, Hong Kong fucking 15-floor fucking spare bedroom flat where the cat keeps coming in and pissing on the pillow. But the 1980s bedspread, I hope he's fucking cashed out.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the bedspread. Like, that was, like... He made a couple of videos where he didn't blur out the bedspread, right? He's got this lamp that looks like it's from the fucking 1931 Orient Express. I'm like, oh, I mean, touche.
Can we go back to the racing for a sec? Because I don't understand car racing.
No, you're not Finn described your green screen as a fucking failed 1980s comedy club.
That's what it looks like.
Great, though.
That's pretty funny.
It's great, though. It works. I think it works well. Joe's live streams are fucking clear. I like Tank's live streams as well, with the mad charts flicking up in the background. He's like, look at that motherfucker. Never mind. What were you going to say, Joe?
Dude, my kids will army crawl. If you watch my shit for any length of time, you will see my kid, especially my youngest, army crawl, thinking that he's hiding from the green screen and trying to get my phone from my pocket in the middle of a stream, dude.
And for any child protection services employees listening in, he's only joking. Rock FM is not a serious.
No. I'm fucking literally. I have a big encyclopedia, a dictionary that, like, I just wait for him to crawl next to me so I can drop it on him while he's fucking trying to steal my fucking phone.
My
little damn.
One of my favorite moments of 2024, still at this minute, is like Tank driving down the road and he's just like, he puts a video on, he looks around the kids, he goes, "Kids, what's the most important thing in life?" And they're both looking from their phones and iPads and just go, "Consistency." And he's like, "Damn right, why is that shit, dude?" I have to watch that video once a fucking week for motivation. And like, you know what I'm saying? It's when you watch something and it's like, I like that shit. They could do with a haircut though, Tank. Do your kids not like getting a haircut or not?
Ah, dude, no, we threaten that shit all the time. We threaten, my wife just said today that she's going to cut all of our hairs and like all of ours, including mine, and get Dean Winchester hairs from Supernatural because that's her hall pass. I'm like, oh, okay.
Are you jealous a bit though or not when they're like flicking around their locks and that? Are you a bit like,
Dude, I had super long hair. That's why they have long hair.
Can we go back to racing, guys?
we've got
racing white. with my super long hair without.
We've got white hand up door.
Blowing in the wind.
Sorry, we've got white hand
door. Yeah, no, I want to know. I never got into racing at all, but I live where I grew up and where I live now is right next to probably like one of the two or three most famous horse racing tracks, maybe in the world. I don't know. But I grew up right by Belmont Racetrack. Like I could walk there and I was never interested. But last couple of years, I wanted to go have some fun. You know, you don't need to watch any of the races. You just drink outside. It's great. They let you bring in coolers of beer, all that shit. But I want to know why in horse racing, they don't give a shit about the jockey. It's all about the horse. But in car racing, why do I have to know the driver's names? I think it's a little bit racist because the jockeys are pretty much all Hispanic or like illegal Italian immigrants. And in car racing, it's all white redneck drivers.
I know what you're saying. Is that the driver gets like the big books where the horse is like valued the most? I actually, you're actually bringing up a very, very, very fucking like relevant point here. But I think you're underestimating the value of the team or constructor versus like what they have to pay like a driver. So like at the top echelon of F1, the money is like, this is why.
For jockeys, it's like they're lucky to make $100,000, even though they're racing multiple times a day. Different owners' horses.
So,
but that's
a good jockey, a high paid jockey would net around 10% of the cash prices.
Yeah, correct. But that's
where that's not the daily grind. The daily grind is they're racing just to race races that nobody cares about. It's like it's almost like a 9-to-5 job.
So, what did Dolphin pay? Yeah.
Do they have benefits though when they retire? Yeah. Like, do they get to?
Well, I'm gonna say this,
shitty jockeys, and like
they get unlimited dog food for life.
No. Mate, if you've been racing like under Dolphin, right? Who are the Saudis, right? Basically, say like Frankie Dettori. So, does anybody know who I'm even talking about?
Nobody fucking knows Frankie Dettori, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, nope, don't know. Is that a cigar?
Tell me another jockey that's done a full card in one day, seven horses across a full card in one day to meet in history. Anybody? No? Well, shut the fuck up then.
I don't even know what that means. What did he do?
Hey, my grandmother was the biggest gambler in fucking England, man. I was fucking brought up.
What the fuck is going on?
I was brought up for 18 years on nothing but Gus Carter. Matt's down there. Matt. Hey, Matt, knows the story. Matt,
it was the same. Like, I was the same horse racing. It was all anybody ever did, especially my grandparents. Like, it was literally the live for it. Couldn't go anywhere without being on the wireless. You know, when I used to listen to the wireless, it was the only thing that was ever on. But Frankie Dettori, very famous jockey. World class.
So Matt, can I give you two words? Can I give you two words? And you probably know what I'm about to say, right? The Grindon, well, three words. The Grindon Mill, right? So everybody else, apart from me and Matt, shut the fuck up. I'm going to give you a quick lesson. So Matt, my grandma was the cleaner in the Grindon Mill. And in, you know, the Sandhills as well, yeah? You know the Sandhills? Right. So yeah. tell people in the room what you know as a person living in Sunderland about the Sandhills, the boozer, where my grandma was the cleaner and it had the bookies like attached to the boozer. Tell them about the Sandhills. Has it been knocked down and bulldozed yet, brother?
I didn't know. It's been that long since I've been up past it, to be honest. But literally, it, from what I know from stories, so I've never actually been in there. You're a little bit older than me, to be honest. But it was it, all it was the same locals, booze, the good old fisticuffs quite regularly, and many, many people just all they did was blow all the cash on horse racing. That's where you used to go for your tips. That's where my usual grandad used to get a lot of A's as well.
So I basically, my grandma, she only had part-time jobs, poor cow, she was fucked, you know. But she was a cleaner in the Grinning Mill and the Sandhills just down the road. But the Sandhills, for people who don't, were like wondering, like, what the fuck are you talking about? And Chris is here. He's from Kentucky. He's a horse racing guy, is Chris. Like, literally.
Who's that?
Chris down there. He's a horse racing guy. He's from Kentucky. But like,
I didn't even know he was American.
All I grew up with was fucking like, round robins, triple round robins, like fucking gambling bets, like betting slip. You know something? I didn't even know pens were normal size because the bookie pens, the gambling pens you get are about like fucking 2.5 inches, like big or something. I didn't even know like normal shit me until I was like fucking 14, 15. And I'm like, have I been a fucking lackey, a fucking servant, Kim Usabi for me fucking grandma running our bets for like fucking four? Yes, you have, you daft little cunt. But like, I learned a lot, but.
Robo, you ever think about what your grandmother would have had to do? Like, let's say she ran out of money on the second to last race, but she knew the last race was a lock. She's probably the only woman there. She probably had to do some dirty shit just to get that last $3 to bet on the last race.
Dude, I would love to talk about the like the hardships of this, like your grandparents went through it as well. And another.
Oh, you call it hard? You call it hardship? Okay.
No, Tank's grandparents went through hardship and like proper like bad shit, like. We've all come from good stuff, but like,
bro, my grandparents stowed away on a boat from the Philippines to Hawaii.
Still oh fish my god,
fucking
that's crazy!
Pearl Harbor fucking thing, but that was a luxury. He fucking went from bad to really good.
You should like, have you should have told your story last because I can't top that. My grandfather was born in a mining camp.
What? Explain a little bit more.
Dude, I can tell you right now, anybody that went into mines back in the day, holy shit.
That's my family.
After going into a mine, holy shit.
But wait. When he said mining camp, it felt like it was like forced labor.
No. So like my dad's family came from Italy. They ended up in West Virginia. And there was really nothing there. They got their house via the Homestead Act because nobody wanted to live there. So they got their house, I guess, for free after like they lived there for some time. But the mining camp is kind of like, it looks like.
Joe, can I get this straight? Because in England, we would say a coal mining village. This is how, like.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, so like I your grew boy Tom Jones.
Matt from Czech, if he was still here, he's gone. That's where I grew up. I grew up, right, about half a kilometer from the slag heap. I had a dual carriageway between my house and the slag heap. I'm lucky that my dad got educated. He was a clever guy. He became the head electrical engineer for 3 mines. But like, I remember on a Friday, like when I was off school and that, with my mum going and picking my dad's salary up at the pit and my dad like coming up out the lift and walking out when these fellas, I mean, his father died, grandfather died, his 2 brothers have died of critical emphysema, you know, the coal dust emphysema. There's a name for coal dust enforced emphysema, right? If anybody knows what I'm talking
about. Yeah, my grandfather's father had black lung and he worked the coal mines until he was like 80. And when he was 80 years old, he got trapped inside the mine with a bunch of dudes for a couple of days and he wouldn't quit. But then like a couple months later, he went to a wedding and he got so drunk that he got vertigo and he called the next day and said he retired. So it took the vertigo from a drunk wedding to knock him out of the business. But yeah, my dad's grandfather worked in the coal mines till he was 80.
Dude,
that's insane.
Dude, I only knew me paternal grandfather, right? For a couple of years, right? I'll just tell you something now. Back in the day, And I'm talking like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, right back in the day, down in the pit. And they were there, down there for that many hours. They had their break and everything, like underground. Do you know the two favourite? I mean, they used to have a little bit of betting, right? And they used to have all the private books and all the fucking footy matches, everything. Do you know the biggest fucking, like, shit that they used to do in the spare time? Was fighting, right? Bare knuckle fights down in the pit were very common, like during lunchtime, make extra bit of money. And I thought this was bullshit. Farting competitions. Do you know that? I was like, when I got old enough and I'm like, yeah, you told me about these farting competitions, like down the pit. Were you full of shit or not? Like full of shit, being appropriate.
That explains your genetics a little bit, right?
Pretty much. I mean, that everybody in the audience probably like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Everything just clicked. I don't even need to listen to Rack FM anymore.
I literally thought they were full of shit. I got to a certain age and I'm like, we is joking it. Like, I knew the fisticuffs, right? Because lots of stuff used to get settled down there and sorted, right? Because these guys, you know, under pressure, listen, people, back then, if you had an argument on the coal face, you fought it out at the break time. That was like how men fucking worked. Like, this is what women didn't understand. Like, no woman was ever down a coal face. Let's like just, I want to bring Chris in because he's the Kentucky Derby guy and he's the horse guy. But all I'm saying is, ain't any woman ever been having a coal face for a good reason.
Chris, did you have?
We should do that now where we settle fucking disagreements like dueling back in the day.
No, we just do pillow fights.
Without lethal. Yeah. Pillow fights.
Oh, dude. Hey, listen. Hey. Ain't have to be no knives. Ain't have to be jack shit, right? Hey, listen, it doesn't matter if you're 18 stone and I'm 10. Like, I'll throw it down. Like you just can sort everything out, right, by a good fisticuffs. It doesn't matter whether you get knocked out or not. If you got knocked out, you weren't the man to win. Like, let's be fair. Anyone who ever got knocked out in a fight wasn't the man to win. Like, that's the top and bottom. Anyway, Chris, come on. Where's me fight fam? Fight fam.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Chris, man, how about that finish on Saturday?
No, Kentucky Derby, man. Come on.
It was awesome. I actually didn't go this year for the first time in a long time. But, I used to work at Churchill Downs. I used to film the horse races. I was on the backside where the chute is, where they'd come out of the chute, and I would just be like that initial shot, and you would widen the camera as they're coming towards you, then they'd switch it off. So pretty cool job back in the day.
That's awesome. I live right by Belmont. I haven't gone that often, and I know this year it's closed, so they're doing the Belmont Stakes on a different track in New York.
Yeah, my wife really wanted to go this year, but I told her to wait till next year. We're in the middle of a lot of apartment hunting and packing and moving, and then we're actually going to Nashville today, Tank.
Where are we going?
So, I'm gonna make a quick confession here, right? There's some things in life, right, that I'm petrified of. Snakes and fucking planes. And especially the two of them combined together. Thanks, Samuel. But also, I'm very wary of horses. Now, I bring this up because Joe mentioned this earlier, and it's about the need for speed, right? When we talk about racing and everything else earlier, right? It's all about the need for speed, and speed is relative, right? If you're on the fastest horse in the world on the back of it, like, you might only be going, I don't know, whatever, 40-odd kilometres, but whatever it is, you feel it, right, on that horse with the power and the, you know, underneath you, et cetera, et cetera. If you're on a fast boat or whatever, you're not even going that faster relative to what you are on a plane or whatever, but, like, it seems like you are. Like I said earlier, or a few spaces ago, you know, I've done some insane speeds on bikes and cars. I've driven a car at 187 miles an hour, and I've been on the fucking back of a bike at 100 on a XDA S650 at 186, like fright, like. The thing about speed and power is that, like, I don't know, you get off and your cock is massive. Like, there's no man in the room that's going to deny that. But it's like relative, and horses are like anything else. And they're like a power trip for fucking men. Like in my, there's Matt down there. This cunt flies his birds all off. Have you seen these birds and that? Get big, like gigantic, like fucking meat along size birds on his arm. You're telling me you're not walking out? Your cock's like massive. Like, look at me. Men love that look at me attitude. I don't care what anybody fucking says. Prove me wrong. We love speed. We love power. We love the fucking, we love the gun, like, look, we harnessed it, isn't it? I don't know. I might be wrong.
You're reckless. I don't like that. I like reckless. Control. I like
reckless, Tank. We're reckless, not reckless.
You're reckless, yeah. My penis goes inwards when I go that fast. It goes into my vagina. And then I start quivering and my knees start shaking. I don't go over 40.
You get a reversal.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I know, but fighting the reversal is like what gives you that, like, Tank, I know you've been in a couple of situations where you were really like frightened and, well, not frightened, but like concerned about, you know, your well-being.
No, I used to be a big into street racing, like imports and stuff like that. I saw my friend get cut in half from street racing. Literally hit a tree and half of his body stayed in the car and the other half flew out the windshield. And the last things he was moaning was, I want my mom, at a young age. And so after that, I slowed down tremendously.
This is why Spa, you know, the Belgium Grand Prix, Spa-Francorchamps, yeah? It's why it's the greatest, like, Grand Prix in the world, that, like, for people who don't even know, like, one of the oldest tracks. But back in the day, back in the early fucking days in the 50s and that, when they used to, like, come round and then, you know, you go up the fucking, everybody knows what I'm talking about. The guy died there a couple of years ago on that uphill. When you come round, something Rouge, isn't it? El Rouge? Is it, what's a Belgium for fucking? That's, anyway, people should know what I mean. Back in the 50s, cars would crash, isn't this? And bodies would be in the trees. They'd literally have to fucking go climbing up these massive trees in the middle of Spa, which is a gigantic forest. And have to drag out the fucking bodies. This is not like once or twice. This, like, was like regular occurrences. Like, it's like, or El Rouge. It's called El Rouge, the corner. The F2 kid died there in 2021, I think. For people like that, like, I know we talked about it earlier, and money, but we talk about jockeys. I'm going to be honest with you. Very, 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 very rarely a jockey would die. Until very recently, incredibly easy for any F1 driver to die. Just go and look at the numbers. The numbers are phenomenal. I'm talking about in the days of, not Fabergé. Why am I thinking Fabergé? His name's the same as, like, Fabergé. I'll get the Italian's name. The fucking Italian cunt back in, like, 54, 55, when he was winning everything. People want to go and, like, look at the early days, but it was un-fucking real. Like, bodies just implanted on get tree branches in that tank. But fucking,
yep, it's fucking, it'll change your life.
They die doing what they wanted to do. You've got to pay respect to anybody who dies doing what, like put their mind, like, said, oh, I'm going to fucking race around a track on a brand new thing that we know fuck all about and risk my life. And, like, if you say I'm willing to die, well, good luck to you. You did, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Go out the way you want to go out. Fucking riding a rocket, right? Strap your balls to it. Let's go.
Mate, did you see? I mean,
I think Kenny Rogers had it right. Best you could hope for is to die in your sleep.
Did you see Niki Lauda? Niki Lauda was, I mean, he only died recently, but fucking hell, he was scarred for life. That cunt, like, as much as I'm really not a fan of, like, Niki Lauda in his early days and what he did and blah, 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 him and Hunt, etc. Like, respect where respect's due, that this guy, like, just became, I don't know, one of the bigger, like, he was the voice that, like, drove, like, Hamilton to do, like, what, 7 championships in a row? I think he died, like, what, 2-3 years ago or something? But, like, he walked around looking like a cock end, you know, the end of your cock, your bell end, we call it the bell end.
Dude, I want to go out like the Highlander in the Kerrigan in the Highlander, where he's like, you know, where he's like, better to burn out than fade away and fucking like fighting everything and fucking get your head chopped off real quick. Like, that's the way, like, I want to go.
I said this when we were talking the other week, right, about Terminal Days on the, whatever it was, the 10 Ways to Die show or something. And I was just like, look, if I'm faced with like the absolute medical fact and in myself I can feel it and I'm going to die, I'm just going to go and put a fucking, like, I'm going to go into a racetrack, hire a Ferrari or a fucking Lambo and pour it in the wall at like 250 fucking k's an hour. Like, what a way to go.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. And then when I die and people come visit me, if people do come visit me, play. I did it my way. Was it, who said that? Frank Sinatra? Play that shit at my fucking, I want to do it my way, dude.
There you go.
Same. I always wanted to jump out of a plane. Just see the ground coming.
Well, fuck all that. I don't want to do that, but.
Bruce, do you think you can only be at peace when you accept that, like, you're going to die? Like, I think that's incredibly important for a human being, mate.
Oh, acceptance is absolutely needed for state of mind or peace. State of peace mind. Absolutely. But, you need to accept the circumstances.
Do you ever think, like, well, I could die tomorrow and fuck it? Like, if it happened, it happened.
Bro, I lived my life from when I was around 11, not thinking I would be more than 25. So the year I turned 25, I literally was walking around just waiting for a piano to hit my head. And after that, I was like, okay. So, yeah, I guess.
I have to say it.
Fascinating stuff there.
I have to say it. No. In Southeast Asia particularly, you know, life is valued, like, very cheaply. And as much as you would like to not be that person that accepts it because of your Western, you know, traditional judicial, like, values, right? It's kind of like, I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm not the guy that moved here 12 years ago. If you know what I mean.
Dude, in Western society, in America, we don't value life any fucking more than anywhere else, bro. And matter of fact,
another Southerner is going to talk about women's rights and all that. Another Southerner defending babies.
Yeah, we buy
babies.
Fast food and kill ourselves slowly on the fucking daily. And that's voluntarily, bro.
Yeah, but we save pit bull puppies, so we care about life. Every litter of puppies is worth saving, even the ones that nobody wants. They're all worth saving. Old people, babies, and teenagers, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck all those guys.
We give the old people COVID, we give the babies vaccines, and we give the teenagers unlicensed weapons to go shoot up the schools.
Before we bring Matt in here, I'll just give you a little quick laugh here. Like, I teach, obviously, high-level business, some of the biggest, like, fucking corporations in the world, right? Like, I'm talking major shit. And we have to do these cross-cultural sensitivity lessons and that, right, sometimes. And teaching ties the difference between, like, a conservative-like attitude and a liberal, but how you can, like, differ on opinion based on the subject matter is just like, oh, it's fucking crazy. It's actually a challenge. Joe, you know, Joe, I don't get many challenges, right? Like, that is,
dude,
like,
that's my entire, you're describing my entire job. You know how it is, dude. All we do is figure out ways to make everyone feel better. Meanwhile, there's not a single kid in my entire school that could read, but we're worried about how they feel. So, well, they should feel fucking illiterate.
Oh, I'm dying.
Why can't we say that?
I'm dying. We teach
people. 200 illiterate kids, not a single literate kid. And we should talk about how they feel around Mother's Day and this day. Like, who gives a shit? Who gives a shit?
Oh, but I don't have a mama at home, Joe. Oh. I don't have a mama or my daddy.
Oh, it's okay. He's 2 hours late to school every day. That's because his mom doesn't live with him. Like, okay, but he still can't read. Like, this is like an emergency. But anyway, Robo knows.
Joe, I told you quickly before we bring Matt and then Brian in. I told you quickly why I left high schools in 2018 is because of the no fail policy. Like, literally, I had a kid that didn't attend class for two semesters, right? And he was getting failed, and I had to give him the lowest of the score, right? 45 to pass him. Do you know why? His parents come in with the flowers, you know, the little ring of flowers and the thing, the butter thing.
The little white envelope action there.
Check this. No, check this. They made him kneel down first and apologize. And then the parents, and I was, oh, dude, I was in the office and I'm like, bro, Are you making adults fucking kneel down in front of me to apologize to fucking give your kid a fucking, like, Joe, I couldn't. Do you understand now, right? That is just.
Oh, I understand. I taught at the college level a couple of years ago. And the first thing they told me, once they gave me the key and the room number, they said, look, it's not going to be your class that weeds kids out of this program. So just do everything you can to make sure they don't fail. And then they'll just fail the next class if they're going to fail. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I went to that college, and that college was like a Catholic school. A lot of nuns still work there. Fast forward 24 years. I go to work there. Dude, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. When they fired me for not getting my fucking COVID booster, and I was happy to leave. Actually, the day I got fired from that job, the next day I started my YouTube channel because I had free time. So there you go. I wouldn't be here right now.
Joe, can we, I don't know, very quickly, and just say yes or no. Can we agree that females are just like 10 times the better learner than males, by the way, right? I just want to declare this as a teacher.
Say it again.
Females are just far better learners than fucking males.
Yeah, but that's because, yeah.
That's because of the structure. You have to look at the framework they have to learn inside of.
I'm talking academically.
The boys don't have a chance. The boys don't have a chance in school.
I'm talking academic. I'm not talking core ed.
Yeah.
Well, guys, for professionals like Joe, who I'm talking to, Joe, I'm not talking core ed. I'm talking like single ed, right? Which is like girls or boys schools. I did 3 years, grade 12, right? Upper high school, which is like SATs and everything else, right? IELTS, etc. You know, BMAT, getting them ready for uni. I did 3 years of boys, all boys. I did 2 years of girls. I'll tell you now, no comparison. My weakest girl.
Yeah, it's not even close.
My weakest girl was as hardworking as the best boy in the boys' school. There you go. Work and output. Girls laugh all over boys, even though like they're not as, they don't apply shit as much. Like, girls exist around theory a lot more, whereas boys want to apply everything like they're learning. But I'm telling you, the shittest girl I had, right? I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of students, right? Per level, yeah? The weakest girl I had was as hardworking as the best guy in the guy's school.
They have better executive skills from a young age, and things just make sense to them the way that schools have to deliver that to large groups. If it was one-on-one, I bet you the boys would outperform the females because they could get you off topic and they could talk about hypothetical and, you know, joke around a little more. The girls are just better in school. They're equipped from a young age because they hit puberty earlier. They're more organized. They cooperate. They're lovely.
You have to think the girls live under a circumstance of they have to be liked. So that's a part of the programming, right?
Shut up, Bruce.
So they will fit in.
Just to add to what Joe said, I'll be very honest with you. Listen to this. The best girl, right, that I taught, right, could come into the same test as the laziest fucking guy that hasn't even got a pen. Your woman's got like the biggest pencil case in the world. He's had 2 hours sleep. He's been on fucking TikTok with his mate all night, and he's probably still going to get a fucking 10% more than her. Like,
yeah, no, the boys are better at certain things, but in terms of the way the schools are designed, the boys don't have a chance. And I can see it. Listen, I'm in a hospital right now. 95% of the personnel are women, which tells me that the boys are just, they are just not getting it. And it's been like that way for decades, problem.
I couldn't agree more. I teach at a hospital here, and I teach like several classes as well at the same time. And 90% are women. And that's back-end labs. Like, these classes are mixed. There could be anything I get, like from any department, 90% of women, Joe.
No, a male doctor walked in the other day. I thought he was coming to take our dinner tray away. I didn't even know. I didn't expect to see a male doctor here.
Bro, the male doctors in Thailand walk in like the fucking movie stars or something. The right, like, pleb fucking cunts, like, I haven't got a lot of time for male medical employees in Thailand.
In Thailand, it's probably the same school that gives both degrees, that's why.
Do you know what's hilarious? Ask Matt, he's down there. You go into a hospital in England, right? Listen to this. Guess what nationality your nurse is? Thai or Filipino?
Filipino.
Thai or Filipino. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you now.
And here there's a lot of Haitian and Filipino in the medical field.
The way the Filipinos looked after my grandma when she was dying was like a fucking queen. I have never seen anything like it. They fucking doted on her hand and foot for like 5 fucking days. Like I've never seen anything like it. Tang, I'm going to tell you now, the Filipino nurses are the best nurses. Like,
oh yeah, dude. Growing up in a Filipino household, like, it's true. Like, they expect you to go to nursing school, especially if you're a girl. They expect you to go.
See, that's where
if you're
screwed
a guy,
up.
They still expect you to go.
It's screwed up because if you're Indian, they expect you to be a doctor or a lawyer, and that's definitely like a that even though they expect you to go to school for Filipino, that's a limiting factor in like your lifetime earnings, right?
Yeah, I mean, but there's different levels of nursing too that you can.
But I bet you, if they were encouraged more, they would be doctors and not nurses.
Oh, for sure.
So you got to
sure,
talk.
Yeah.
You got to talk to your people.
It's kind of like they set that. It's kind of like they set that bar for themselves.
For Italians, they're like, you know, you could work in the butcher shop, you could pour concrete, or you can go to law school. Because when my cousin that. Vinny came out, that was empowering to me and my family.
No, Tank will tell you. Tank, this is a true story, though. Then I've done this for fucking so many years, man. I'm nearly 12 years in. It's getting long in the tooth. Guys just can sit down in any mainstream, like, Asian class. What do I mean by, like, main? I mean about the countries that have got, like, you know, a bit of money, a bit of clout. You know, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, all right? And you can get your class in first year and just say, rate. It doesn't matter how old they are. So the weird thing is, it can be like 6 to 18, and you'll go, right, kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? Like, never mind what your parents say, never mind it. Like, in your heart, like, where's your passion? And you can give these kids every single bit of inspiration, right, an aspiration to say, oh, I want to be an astronaut or this or that. No, you're going to get doctor, lawyer, engineer. In fact, I shouldn't have said them in that order. I should have said doctor, engineer, lawyer. That is the fucking order of like most desired professions by all Asians. And Tank will know what I'm talking about. There's that pressure on you. Do you know what? If you become an accountant, you're a disappointment of the family. There you go. And I know what I'm talking about now. I've taught fucking thousands now. Tens of thousands. I know what I'm talking about. Am I getting rogue this time talking or what? We lost people there.
No. I'm here. Joe had to drop probably something.
Doctor, engineer, or fucking lawyer. That's all fucking they want to be out here. You might speak to 30 kids. One kid will say graphic designer or something. That's all you go down the line. Doctor.
As a parent now, I've kind of wondered this too, because I'm at that point where with my boys that there, you know, that question is seriously being asked, like, hey, what do you want? What's your interest? Like, I'm not expecting them to know at like 9 years old.
Well,
can I give you
some inside information, Tank? Dude, you're triggering me. Hear me out, placate me. Huh? Right. School is pretty much a fucking waste of time. It's not, but it is. What do I mean by that? Is that, like, guys, when you go to uni, and you have a field of study, what exactly is contained within that field of study, right? Think about it. How much of your high school education, right, have you guys actually applied in the real world? Very.
That's why we homeschool. Well, we homeschool for other reasons, but my kids are homeschooled.
Exactly. Now, you can cover, listen, fine. I'm of the big, see, in England, we do things a different way with A-levels. I don't know what's like in America, but in Thailand, I've got kids, or I had it, kids 18 years old studying up to 22 different subjects in a semester. And I'm talking like several different branches of a particular, like, science, right? If anyone knows how shit really works. Now, why? Like, if you're going to go and do a fucking chemical engineering degree, just how much of what you have to learn in that 2 years is necessary. between the ages of 16 and 18, right? Which is that, like, that, you know what I mean? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. No, you should do. It's so fucking instrumental in development that you should reduce all fucking subjects except what you're going to study in uni. There's no point. Like, why are you wasting your brain set? Like, okay, quickly, Sherlock Holmes defined this, didn't he? In, I forgot which book it is, I'll remember in a minute. But it's where he talks about the brain, right? The human brain is nothing more than an attic. And he talks to Watson about this in great detail in the Redhead Gang or whatever it is. I think it is. It is the Redhead Gang, right? And he talks about the attic, you know, and what do? You fill it with junk. There's only so much room in the attic, right? And your fucking brain is like that. But we don't treat kids like this. We think kids are immeasurable sponges where we can just, like, pile data on them. But it's data that's irrelevant. It's like, say, like reading about history, where they can actually know something about where they've come from and where they might be fucking going. Like, literally, biology, right? What I learned in high school biology, like, what benefit has that done me in any, like, part of my life? Well, nothing. Did I have any intention of even, like, having, no. Did I intention, like, no. Dude, you wasted my time and, more importantly, the teacher's time. I think this should even start younger. If I was running education, and he's Brian, I'm just saying, if I was running education at 11 and 12, every fucking school would have, like, you know, a talent spotting program. And those kids would be shepherded into programs where, you know, four core subjects. I mean, we can talk about STEM all day long. I think it's incredibly important, but also that, you know, it's not the answer, but it's a step in the right direction. Yeah. If anyone knows about STEM, I'm just fucking sick. The fact, and then, like Joe said, we're filling these kids, right, with this bullshit about, oh, you know, diversity, inclusion, equality, blah, 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 like DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion. Sorry. Like you're just giving them, and all these other books about, you know, having an orgasm and stuff like literally, like, 11, 12, find the kids that are really good at, like, the shit that you know they're going to be good at, and then, like, just give them, like, four subjects. Brian, and I'm mouthing off about education. Sorry, bro.
You're good, man. Like, having a kid or a couple kids is, like, weird. They're all different, and they kind of learn different. Like, my son, he has to engage. So somebody was talking and said, like, they want to apply the things. Dude, that's to a T, that's my son. He gets, like, super obsessive. And yeah, and the daughter's, like, a really good student. It's interesting. But one of the main things I would push back on is, like, if you get people into STEM.
Brian, wait, it's intelligence type, though, isn't it? So can I ask for context? How old are the kids that you're talking about?
7 and 9.
Right. So they haven't even really developed, like, their ability to comprehend things like spatial awareness, blah, blah, blah. So, like, in
7-year-old agree, my 9-year-old, she might as well be 20, dude. Her, like, she is so freaking wise, like, and developed. Like, it's just really, really weird.
So are you trying to identify it? Because Bruce and I were talking about this the other day. Are you trying to identify intelligence types at this stage or not?
Intelligence types, no, but I know that if I have put something physical in front of my son, he'll sit there for hours. But, like, you try to get him to read a book, like, he won't do it. Like, he'll do it for, like, 10, 15 minutes and then be, like, out. What I guess where I was going is like, my only issue with, like, over-optimizing people for STEM is, like, you're going to get a bunch of people that can, like, build crazy shit, but they don't even understand why or should they build the shit, right? So, like, yeah. What I'm trying to say is, like, that you want a well-rounded citizen, and that's why you have to do all the other things, because, like, just STEM alone, like, people will go off and say, like, build, you know, weapons of mass destruction or, like, blockchains just for fun, but not have anybody be able to use it because they're like, oh, they should understand that this is, like, how it's supposed to be technically, but, like, not understand whether or not they should make it or not.
Because STEM lacks any, intrinsic emotional aspect.
Right.
There's a level of emotional intelligence, and you have to understand empathetic about people's motivations and why they do particular things. And that's kind of where the other types of education comes in, right? So like philosophy and English narratives and stories, like we learn a bit more through stories and Shakespeare and things like along those lines than anything else, like tragedies. So you can have like that emotional empathy of like what you should build and what you shouldn't build. Like, sure, like somebody could be in their basement and build like a fusion reactor, but should they build it? Probably not, right? But like if you just only teach STEM, they'll be like, okay, let me see where the limits of my education can take me in math and science, and they'll end up building a bomb, you know, to blow up the world.
Would you say, Brian, would you say a lack of philosophical intent in that kind of way of thinking a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, so you can't over-optimize. If you want to be like a holistic thinker, like you, that's changing the world or like a global citizen, you have to like have other aspects to your nature, not just STEM.
So Oppenheimer would be a great example. And he didn't realize it until it was too late, right?
A little bit.
I mean, I kind of get... Let me put it this way, Brian. Maybe STEM syllabuses are designed to create human AIs a little bit, maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can agree with that. Human AIs, human robots.
There's a symbiotic relationship between like STEM as a teaching philosophy versus like what's happening with AI right now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you think about like Facebook and Zuckerberg, it's like he didn't run the company. Sheryl Sandberg did, who's like an emotional genius, right? She's like empathetic, emotional genius manipulator that knew how to like control the entire organization, right? It wasn't Zuckerberg.
You're talking about the ex-Yahoo CEO, right? The woman that like basically made the internet.
No. I'm talking about Sheryl Sandberg, the one who COO of Facebook.
Yahoo. No, she was the ex. She was ex Yahoo, right?
That was Marissa Meyer.
Is she? Yeah. Where was she before? Where was your woman before Facebook? I'm sure she was Yahoo. No,
I don't know.
I'm wrong. Are you talking about Zuckerberg handed that all like basically the keys to the gate, right? Same as Jack Dorsey did with your woman.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like autist devs, right? Semi-autist devs to like build this shit that come from like a crazy STEM background that it gets super obsessive and they like break the mold and you get the COO or like, you know, to run it and to maintain it, right? That have the emotional empathy to run an organization. I didn't invest in Ethereum like back in 2014 because I was like, dude, this kid was so like unempathetic, and like Vitalik was just such a crazy asshole that I'm like, he's never going to be able to run an organization or get people to like follow him. I was wrong because it was Joseph Lubin. Like one of the biggest like mistakes was investing in Lyft instead of like Ethereum, like ICO, right? It's crazy. So, but Lubin was the guy who kind of ran the organization and was able to like, so you need both sides. And so you have the STEM person, and then you have like the you know, the autist, if you will. I mean, the head of operations who has like the empathetic goal and the leadership and the command, that gravitas to like lead and motivate people. And then you have the person who's like kind of breaking the mold in the tech.
Seven, the method coming correct to establish a better connection. No matter the feast, the better the fight, the bigger I'm growing my henchmen. I summon the force to fight all these enemies, killing at my discretion. I'm kicking back, watching, chopping up all these extra pensions. Me and mine, we were raised on that spycraft. Meanwhile, all y'all meeting shit that looks like Minecraft. It's a good thing we spent billions on technology that lets these clubs set up decentralized monopolies. This revolution only leads to further destitution. When the drone hands you a grenade, the shit is not illusion. You know we got some nice solutions. Absolutely in the back room with the magical money-making machinery.
trying to learn what we can from these machine elves, taking all these lessons and spin them into free wealth. Single out the meaningful shit that's done me well, visualize syncing up lines and freak retail. They pulling out all the stops, hell froze over and dispatched the last Cointel Pro. The world don't even know when the Cold War made it home. Lack of any credible story thanks to them old pros, and we ain't even drawing the straws. Lighting Molotovs all night long, boss, for the write-off, sign off, violently silent, check the repo. Motherfuckers, we ain't going nowhere till they free dust.
45 by Muhammad Zaman, by the Saudis, by Fog against the Houthis. I was in Fatima.
Motherfuckers out here feeling trapped inside an avalanche, out committing smash and grabs, masquerading saddlebags, blazing hot cattle brands, waiting on these hashtags, sending satellite telemetry right to my battle axe. I'm swinging left and right, weathering, never seen it coming, like a female in real life, they never seen her coming. Show me the eyewitness, there ain't no fly mistress, just rosy palms hanging out with her five sisters. Meanwhile, we out here trying to not die of boredom, doing technical analysis on Moore's Law, just a short it. It's not that I'm bearish on the tech lore, I'm just not that bullish being onboarded by the board. When AI becomes the lord of war, you better gorge your horde, sorting out disorders. I'm bored, going door to door, it's all nervy turds, it's in your money, bork, feeling like the Swedish chef, feeding all these dork doors, and we ain't even drawing the straws. Lighting Molotovs all night long, boss, for the write-off, sign off, violently silent, check the repo. Motherfuckers, we ain't going nowhere till they free dough.
I'm not the got me fucking zombies and the fucking answer in the cunt. For fuck's sake, man. Fucking pissed right off now. What? Enchiladas. You know Zab? No, you know Zab wings. You know Zab wings? The spicy Zab, they call them Zab? Z-A-B or something?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like hot wings, or
aye, hot wings, aye, from KFC, right? But they're in the box, you know, the big box I bought earlier while I've been munching all night, yeah? So, I had four Zab wings in a box ready just to like nail me last beer right before I fucking go to bed, yeah. And because I've got a fucking twisted me neck, you know, my neck, I've got a fucking trapped nerve in my neck and I'm in real agony to deal, like I can't even turn around, so I'm pissed off and I want to go to bed. And I've just opened my box of Zab wings. And then fucking, you know, the micro, now the little micro ants, you know, the tiny, tiny little ants.
Yeah.
So, you know, the heat, you know, it's got up like 40 degrees here recently, yeah?
Yeah.
And the rain's not out yet. It's bringing things to life that want to, like, find cover in your house right now, you know? Fuck, bro.
I gotcha.
These little cunts, these tiny little microscopic ants have fucking got in me boxes, have wings on my desk, and fucking they're all, I were like, there's about 300 other cunts in the box.
Bro, I'm just imagining you sitting at your desk and feeling fucking foaming. Ants all over the place.
I'm foaming. I have a dilemma right now. I'm like at crossroads, you know, crossroads, right?
Yeah, no, bro.
I can either try and like brush them off. And then pretend I didn't see
it. Fucking just eat them, man. What are you
Wait,
talking about?
Bro, it's Thailand. I don't know where these ants have been, dude. Come on, their little feet have been, could have been anywhere. It's Thailand, man.
Shut the fuck up.
Nah.
Man. Just
nah.
Be a man, eat the ants.
Nah.
What are you talking about?
Channel Spaces.